Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 645. They are the hosts of the Sleeping with Jeff Bridges.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thing, which
is fantastic.
Which is fantastic. There is a point in it where there's like kids like playing, and that's not too relaxing to me.
Kids playing?
You hear kids playing?
That's because you're afraid of kids.
I'm deathly afraid of kids. They hold most of the diseases in the world. But then after that, though, it's like midway point is like the most relaxing thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Really nice. Because it's like, you know, I go back and forth between that and some just noises and pizzizz.
Oh, yeah. Pizzizz is great.
Yeah. That transatlantic accent that guy has.
You get ready for deep sleep.
One time I heard him say something I'd never heard him say before. He was like, just shoo away the bad thoughts. Shoo, shoo, shoo. And I was like, shoo away. Go fucking fuck yourself with that fucking term. I've come to think that this guy was the most intelligent person I've ever known in my life. He's like, shoo him away. Shoo, shoo.
You know, there used to be, I think it was on, I want to say Planet Earth. It was one of the big Discovery specials. And I think Richard Attenborough narrated it in England. And I think, is that the one? I don't know. It was one that Sigourney Weaver narrated here.
Oh, yeah. That might have been, yeah.
And there was a line, and I think she was talking about a Nautilus, and she was like, and now the Nautilus must puff its way to deeper waters. I'm going to puff my way. I'm sorry, guys. I got to puff my way to deeper waters.
That's Chris always puffing his way to deeper waters.
I can hear you down here. I didn't puff that deep.
Yeah. This guy fucking
do you have anything on the community cork board?
Yeah, we got some stuff.
What do you got on there,
Kyle's Clark? Community cork board.
It's not Kyle's. That is not the correct branding.
Kyle and the community cork board.
I'll allow it.
I've got a guy who I'm excited about because he's Hawaiian.
What? Is his name Jonah?
It is, actually.
Oh.
No, it's a guy named...
Good joke, Kyle.
Cliff Bailey. It's what I'm here for.
What was it?
Oh, I get it.
Cliff
Hawaiian
Bailey.
Cliff.
He's
That's
from Hawaii.
A joke, right?
And he does his friend Chris Flowers lives in North Carolina, and they had to like separate, but now they do a podcast over Skype together to keep friendship going, no matter how far away you are or what fake state you're in.
Yeah, oh, well, pretty cool. Mahalo to that.
Right?
What else?
Yeah.
North Carolina is an actual state, Kyle.
I know. I've got family from there, so I'm a big supporter.
They have a friend from Hawaii. His name is Cliff Diver. The real name. Diver.
But their podcast is called The Bailey Adventure.
B-A-I-L-E-Y. Great.
Adventure. There's also a guy from Portland. That's a place you're familiar with.
Portland!
Right? And he does like steampunk iPod like speakers that are like wood grain.
That's
They're called Volta.
So they only work for your iPod.
An iPhone.
Oh, okay.
I suppose.
Sure. What's an iPod?
I don't know.
I mean, if that's how you want
to deal with it. Something that would puff its way to deeper waters.
It would. Yeah.
And what's that called?
It's called the Volta Sound.
Okay.
And they are very attractive and priced to own and handmade by somebody just outside of Portland who I assume had a mustache and put on a nice brown leather apron to craft it for you.
It's made with love and mustache wax.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got some for the cork board.
What's that? What do you got there?
Deanna Rooney, my wife, just... animated a video for the band Andrew Jackson Jihad.
Yeah.
And it's up on the AV Club right now and on Side One Dummy Records website and YouTube. But it's a song that's kind of talking about like a lot of cults and stuff like that. And then she animated Nick Cage finding a cult of hamsters, saving them, and they also all have penises because that's what my wife does. She
pulls some stuff in the vault there.
Yeah. It's off of their amazing album Christmas Island, and it's just. And did I get that right, Kyle?
Yeah, no, it's good.
Anna Rooney, very talented artist.
Yes, yeah. So
I like that. I just let you have it, and you're like, let me get a dig in.
Yeah. Also, DC Pearson, who's an amazing comedian and writer, just did a self-produced 5-minute proof of concept for a film adaptation of his book, The Boy Who Never Went to Sleep and Didn't Have to. And that's up on Vimeo, so just look for that. It's a really cool book, and it's a really cool little video. Trying to make that into a movie.
I'll be performing on Friday the 13th of March.
Friday the 13th of March.
We just had one of those.
We're having another one.
Too much spooky.
That's I'm at the St. Louis and St. Louis at the Pageant Theater. It might be sold out, but I think there could be a couple tickets left available. And then I just added a bunch of second shows to shows like in D.C. and Boston and Philly and Atlanta and Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. And so if you go to funcomfortabletour.com, I'll also be announcing a bunch of new cities for the fall, for the late summer and the fall. Some Texas dates, I think maybe some Tennessee dates.
Nice.
And some other. So funcomfortabletour.com. Kyle, anything for you?
I had just Jonah Ray decided to reissue my cassette tape, Pizza Night, and it'll be out in a few weeks on his Literally Figuratively record label. And so it'll be available
Jonah Ray.
We did it in conjunction with Wiener Records, and so it'll be available on their website. It'll also be available on AstoyMerchandise.com, where I do all my distro stuff through.
Excellent.
Cool.
And can we agree that the correct spelling of Wiener is W-I-E-N-E-R?
We sure can.
Yeah, because sometimes I'll put that on Twitter. People go, it's W-E-I. And I go, no, that's a Jewish last name, Wiener.
Yes.
That's not. Wiener is like Vienna.
As someone who uses the term Wiener too much, I definitely have got that spelling down.
Because it comes from Vienna, a Wiener, a Wiener.
Yeah. You mean by someone that gets called Wiener a bit too much?
Well, yeah. For sure.
Bringing it back home for a hostful podcast. Another one.
Yeah, what's Matt doing? Getting ready for Edmund? Midnight?
He's getting ready for At Midnight. Complaining about it, I'm sure. I never get to come to podcasts. You could. You could just come out here. No, I can't. Then I wouldn't be able to complain about it.
I had to come to the circle be unbroken.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Not even here to defend himself.
That was a great match. Wow, that's like a real subtle great match. I like that.
Thanks.
It's so weird because it's so close to, jeez, I just don't.
I mean, I just don't. Yeah. It's the critic.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
You want my jacket, Ben?
I will not own me.
What are we doing? What is this? What are we doing?
I don't know. You're just undressing.
Yeah.
I'm not the one barging in here with short pants.
They're called shorts.
Sorry, I don't want to go with the hip lingo. I'm not crazy about shortening things all the time.
Short pants are different than shorts.
Are they?
Yes.
But isn't that where the term derives from? Is that they're short pants? They're shorts?
Well, let's say a colloquialism now has become an accepted term. It's
too
weird.
Long to be shorts, too short to be pants. They're shants. Do you know that one?
No.
It was an old, what's his name? He was in Fly the Conchords. He was an American comic, but now he lives in New Zealand.
Oh, you're talking about Arch Barker.
Arch Barker. Yeah, that was like
he
one
lives
of
in Australia.
Australia,
yeah,
okay.
He's huge in Australia.
That's what I hear.
Really funny.
But yeah, that was like, he used to say that because he used to wear shants.
Oh, that's really funny. Yeah, I just don't think I would be like, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to put my short pants on.
I'm going to the gymnasium. I'm going to put short pants on.
Also, if I can only find this time portal.
Yeah. Oh, the Gaim.
That's one of my favorite Simpsons jokes.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorite. What's a Gaim?
They
posted that on the Simpsons Instagram.
Yeah, I think that's why it was in my head.
Oh, a Gaim.
How perfect is it that they can find a little 15 second like couplets to just like just make you go,
it's the best.
Oh.
For anyone who's not following a Simpsons Instagram, I think it's the Simpsons IG.
I think so.
I think maybe that's it.
So good. It's that and skate park fights are my two favorite
Instagrams. I can't watch skate park fights.
I
don't like watching people.
You still
get...
like seeing tons of white kids say the N-word over and over again.
Well, that would be unfortunate too, but I don't like watching people get hurt. When we worked on WebSoup, it was very hard for me watching people land on their face.
Should have fucking tried to write something after like the 20th one. It's like, the testicles are a very...
Yeah.
Webster's Dictionary defines pain as...
That poor guy, Mike Gaboff, who just kept, like, jumping
Crazy on. Mike Gaboff?
Yeah, but I think he, like, severely injured himself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
He kept going, but he was real... It's funny, like, talking to those other guys, like, they all know each other. Like, Horse, remember Horse?
Yes.
And, like, Horse...
The guy
would
get kicked in the nuts?
Yeah, and he was like, oh, that Gaboff guy fucking sucks. We used to start doing... We started doing stunts, like, or when we first started, we were doing them together. I was like, stunts, what is it? Oh, it's kids that didn't skate. Those were the guys that like. It's like it was weird because it's like all the guys that did the stuff, like all the jackass stuff, were skaters that just like when they weren't skating, they had a camera and they would do dumb shit. And then there was guys that like they're like, ooh, that's the stuff. That's the stuff that I'll do. And then that's
without the skating.
Without the skating, that's all that. That's what that became.
I think it's kind of like how. So those guys are skaters without the skating.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Patton that referred to hipsters as nerds without the brains?
I think so.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. This is a strange thing that happened the other morning. I woke up and like I had a little scratch above my eye, and I rubbed it and it was like a little weird piece of something. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I remembered that when I was 17.
This is from the car accident?
Yes.
There's no way there's glass still coming out of your fucking head.
It happened for years after the accident, but I was in a car accident when I was 17 and a really bad car accident, and I had glass all on my forehead, and for years it would work itself out. And I think a piece worked itself out.
That's crazy.
After that long. I mean, after 9 years.
After 30 years.
No, nine. All right, it's not 30, but it's not nine.
Yeah, okay. Split the diff. It's 45.
That's not the diff. That's not how the diff works.
What's the diff?
That's not how the diff works at all.
That's crazy. But you felt the thing that came out?
Yeah,
or just...
I felt the thing, and I thought it was like a scab.
Yeah.
And then when I saw where it was, I'm like, oh yeah, that's part of where the glass was.
That's so
really
gnarly.
Bad. Did I tell that story in here before?
Yeah. I think because it coincided with the story about, there was something else that happened that day, right?
Hanging out with my friends.
Yeah. Yeah, but were you in college yet?
I was just in college. I was 17.
Yeah. I remember, I don't remember the details of the story. I just remember that.
Yeah, friends and I went to Tijuana. We went to San Diego and then ended up sneaking down to Tijuana.
Oh, I don't think I know that story then.
We snuck down to Tijuana.
Sneaking, how so?
Our parents didn't know where we were.
Ah.
Yeah. You're in college, you're adults.
You're like sneaking across the border. Like.
No. You're white, you don't have to sneak.
we told our parents we were going to San Diego. And we went to Tijuana. I wasn't really a drinker in high school, though. Everyone else was drinking, and I guess, you know, we drove back at, like, I don't know, like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Ugh.
And it was raining, and we got just near Irvine, and it was just sort of like twilight hour, and I was asleep. And it's like right before, it's so weird how you go into like spider sense, like right before something really awful happens, and all of a sudden everything just went. And then I was asleep or half asleep, and I just heard the dude driving, this kid named Matt, was like, oh my God, oh my God. And then he slammed on the brakes because there was a pickup truck just like parked in the number 3 lane.
Oh fuck!
But because the roads were wet, he slammed on his brakes and he hydroplaned. We would have been fine if the roads had been dry.
Yeah,
and just hydroplaned. And the kid behind me was not wearing his seatbelt, and his body just smashed into my seat, and I caught all this glass on my forehead. And so everyone was really. I can't believe no one died.
Fuck.
Because, you know, we were going freeway speeds.
Yeah. What was the worst injury?
It was the kid behind me, Gerald. Yeah. He, because his whole body, like, I think he was in a coma for a few days. Like,
fuck.
And, but here's the crazy coincidence of the entire thing is that I discovered that my house now, it was his family's house.
What
I get their I was getting some of their mail. I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy.
That's so weird.
I think he might have lived in that house.
Gerald?
Gerald.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Very well-to-do family.
His parents own La Poubelle.
Ah, that'll do it.
Oh.
They've had it there forever.
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
The little trash can.
Fuck.
As it's known in French.
Yeah, yeah. That's so crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? That's such a strange coincidence.
Life is full of coincidences.
Yeah, so it's, you know, whenever I go into La Poubelle, if I see his mom and his sister, I'll be like, I was in that car accident with Gerald.
Yeah.
You know, the car accident.
Things worked out for me. I bought your house. Coming for the bar next.
Going to turn it down and make it into a game room.
Yeah.
How is Gerald? Oh, he died.
Complications of coma-itis.
They don't live on the Upper West Side.
Oh, he died. He's not alive. He's not alive any longer.
Oh, he passed.
No,
that's
fine.
Crazy.
He passed.
You know, he passed a while back. You know, he passed to the other
side.
You
know, he just kept going into comas.
You know, the strangest accident. Thing, I think you broke some mystical seal when you bought the house. He just dropped dead and passed on.
It seems as if his soul was part of it, connected to it were.
Anyway, you'll see his unquiet soul roaming around your hallways. How's your mom?
Can I get you a drink, a Diet Coke, whatever?
Oh, now we're going to the coffee talk. Now we're going to the coffee talk. How are you guys doing? It's been a while since we've done a... Hostful podcast, unless you count.
It's been 19 days.
That was fun.
That really was fun.
It was a good time.
I don't know why, but my feelings always get a little hurt when people are like, there was no guest. And I'm like, but you said you wanted more Hostfuls.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not on their time.
Yeah, I guess that's true. No,
just
I guess
on our
that's
time.
True.
They still had fun.
Yeah, I think they had fun.
Almost.
It's just that, you know, like I thought John Waters was going to be there, and we tried for John. He couldn't be there, and it was a little bit of a scramble to get, you know, like everyone else. Because everyone does multiple shows at Sketchfest, and sometimes, you know. So, I don't know. I just thought, like, oh, it'd be cool to do a...
The people want Hostfuls, let's give them Hostfuls. We don't know how...
We used to do those all the time, live Hostfuls.
Yeah, we don't know how they react.
That was just pretty much a live show, yeah.
It's out tomorrow.
We had a great
time. Let's re-record tomorrow when we find out their opinions on it. Maybe they all love it.
Everyone's real mad. Oh, we should have done this. I told you.
Oh, God.
You guys!
Take it offline! I do not want this!
I'll be over here in my short pants!
How dare you! I demand guest!
Wait, are you one of us now, or are you one of the audience?
I have no idea!
Or are you
the
Bruce
bit's
Gutter?
Been muddied! Muddied, I say!
Oh, Jonah passed on after us.
But my ghost lives on.
He had a bit blockage.
He was doing voices, and
he passed.
I choked to death.
Sometimes it's almost like I can hear him just hanging out.
I'm right fucking here.
He didn't talk that way in life. I don't know what happened.
His ghost sounds like that.
I've been merged with the soul of Ted Knight. You'll see.
Oh.
I've got to get out of here. Please avenge me.
Oh, Danny is not a member of this club. He certainly couldn't take it. I mean, it's illegal, is this? Yeah. How you guys been?
Doing okay. Just working on the on editing the pilot that I shot for True TV. So that's been fun. That's a fun process.
Yeah.
Sitting there fixing things.
Fixing things.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, when do you have to finish that by?
Friday, I think, is the when we send it in to the network. But it's real funny. It's very funny. It's very it's something I've wanted to do for a long time. So I think it's and it's turning out pretty nicely.
Realizing dreams.
I mean,
it's on air, so I'm putting whatever music I want in it, which is fucking fantastic.
That network is owned by Hearst, so I feel like if we knew anybody, that might.
Can you put in a good word for me?
Oh.
Could you do me a solid?
I don't like to talk business during lovemaking time.
Is that
that's the only time you guys communicate?
No. You just twisted my words.
Sir, you have just twisted my words. Now,
you've just
twisted my words, wait a minute.
Of short pants.
How was that twisted?
So, Jonah,
okay.
Short pants are not
short. Chris, no. Okay.
Who wears short pants?
I caught the train today. I let my brother borrow my car, and so I caught the train to North Hollywood from Highland Park.
Why'd you let your brother borrow your car?
His car was breaking down. He bought Ed Salazar's old car, so he's...
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah.
I think you should let him learn a lesson.
So you're saying
Don't buy a car from Ed Salazar.
Yeah. You're saying that Ed Salazar's 98 Chevy Cavalier is not hanging in there in 2015?
Yeah. But
now, what's it going to take for you to get into this beautiful 1998 Chevrolet Cavalier?
Registration, it turns out. But it was great. I had a nice time. It was very relaxing, just letting the train do the work for you, and you just kind of get to relax in the morning on the way to work.
Just letting the gentle hand of public transportation set you down.
Yeah. Gold line to red line. Fucking easy.
Where's the stop around here?
The closest one would probably be like
Hollywood Island.
I think Hollywood and Vine.
Is there one?
No.
Yeah, Hollywood and Highland. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I actually caught the ride to work, but like I caught an Uber over here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. So it wasn't
You're doing
there.
Pretty well over there, huh?
Yeah, pretty nice.
You got an Uber.
Catching Ubers all over the place.
Catching an Uber. The guy was real heavy foot, and I felt sick the entire time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gotta keep your eyes off the phone, stare at the road. You'll be fine.
Yeah. That's a good point. I was looking out the window. Didn't help.
You're reminiscing about it now. I rolled down
the window to get some air on my face. It didn't help. None of it. Yeah, no good. Did you guys watch the SNL 40th anniversary?
No, I only saw, based on your recommendation, I saw the Martin Short part of it.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. But I sort of felt like, I don't know, you know, I just feel like the audience was being weird.
Well, they were. But it's all the people there, and everyone's kind of like, it's a weird thing, I think.
Yeah, but fuck, you know, like, fucking have fun if you're in an audience and you're seeing something, like, when it cut back to Fred and Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
During that sketch, there was no smiles. They were surrounded by people, and everyone just looked fucking sour.
Yeah, that was true.
What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Like the last anniversary show had, like, it was a lot more fun.
That was a different world then, you know?
It sure was.
Kadeem Hardison and Lisa Bonet.
Yeah, but I suggest people watch the 40th anniversary if they've ever wanted to see the Bass-O-Matic sketch at half the speed.
Why?
It's just Dan Aykroyd did it. Yeah, and he like talked about it on Stern, saying that like, you know, Lauren asked for him to do it, and like the analogy that was given was like, it's like, hey, you know that great like Olympic like javelin throw you did that one time? It was just in the moment it happened. It was, you just nailed it. It's like, do that again. Do the thing you did at a live show that's so iconic that everyone's seen.
Do that again 40 years later.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's just Dan Aykroyd looking like my dad.
Dad Aykroyd?
Dad Aykroyd. I called him that, Dad Aykroyd. And it's just like, you know, it's just the best.
Jonah Ray stance.
But yeah, it was a little. I was like, I get why they're doing it. You know, a salute to the classic sketches, but like, oof, rough.
Like, now, are you being a sexy dog, or were you saying
rough?
They did the parrot sketch. Remember?
Lipstick is out.
What?
They did the dead parrot sketch on SNL with, and it might have been 15, 20 years ago, but it was with Cleese and Palin,
but
remember?
The thing is, like, at least they still do that live sometimes. Like, you know, throughout the years, Python has done that live a bunch of, you know, like a good handful of times.
Yeah,
that was the last time.
Aykroyd's never been on the Bass-O-Matic tour.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's
I'm gonna need a blender. I'm gonna need some power.
He's a real weird dude, that Dan Aykroyd.
Doesn't he own some train cars?
Yes, he doesn't fly, and so he owns a train car. That he,
Hitches
I guess you can
Amtrak.
Do that, and
yeah.
you can
rent a train car.
Yeah, but you can have your own train car.
You can own a train car,
and then they'll just
Amtrak
put it on.
Tow it.
Yeah. And so that's how he gets around,
which is kind of awesome.
Yeah,
but also,
it's just like a guy. It's like, I mean, what's the fear of flying for this guy? He's going to get abducted.
I would love him to be on this show.
On this show?
On this very program?
Oh yeah, I would love to talk to the guy.
I want
to
spend 20 hours talking.
I may have a connection.
Yeah.
So I'll try.
I'd love to talk to him. I love, like, I was so obsessed with him for so long. It's like, he was just like, you see those old pictures of him. He's like the coolest looking guy in the like original Not Ready for Primetime Player pictures. He's the coolest looking dude, which is like a good indicator of like, don't try to be cool your whole life, because look at him now.
Well, he's probably going to come on if you say stuff like that.
But I think he's amazing.
Good follow up.
Oh, my neck from that back pedal. Really
good save.
I said it beforehand that it was amazing.
Back.
I said
good
I'm
save, Robitaille. Is he a goalie? Is Robitaille a goalie? He was. Okay, good.
Woo. I don't know. He's such a he's such a weird thing in my life. Like it's like I've like was so obsessed with him and like now I'm like don't know how to feel about him.
Feel good about him. He's still out there doing stuff.
He yeah, still did great stuff. He doesn't have to do good
stuff. No, exactly. But I want to like I try to understand him. You know, I try to understand like Blues Brothers 2000. I try to understand like getting into like it's like you know or
a lot of existential Aykroyd.
No, it's
yeah, no, it's like he's like a big part of my life.
I think he just has fun with things.
That's what I think.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, why not?
That's what I want to think. I don't know. It's like he really like it's like I mean,
when
you know,
you're out of the when you're not doing comedy for a long period of time, it's just like I think it's just like pulling a bike out of the garage that's been sitting in there for 20 years. It's you know, it's
but
like
he's so brilliant for so long.
Yeah.
And
well,
so like, and he really pushed like. You know, there wasn't like a lot of like it's like you know huge sci-fi comedies before Ghostbusters. You know, there wasn't like Dr. Detroit is so fucking gonzo. It's like you
yeah,
know,
yeah, Dr. Detroit really is.
It's he's just so like you know, like in that kind of like Toronto Chicago voice. Like no, you know, he's just.
I think the first time I ever kind of went like whoa to a Dan Aykroyd movie was Caddyshack 2.
When he did the fucking Bill Murray thing. That's the thing.
When he does the Carl character.
And maybe he justifies, like, well, it's my friend. If anyone's going to do it, I'll do
maybe
it.
Maybe he developed that character at Growlings and let Bill do it, and then they had to do it, you know, at Second City, rather. And maybe that was, you know, maybe Harold Ramis was like, hey, why don't you do it now?
A lot of speculation.
Yeah, I know. I just, I think about him a lot. Always have.
Always have. You sure do.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Just yeah. Go to sleep. Oh damn!
No, I mean,
I got to meet.
Did you remember one of my first, like one of my early jokes was?
I remember you asked him to sign it. He got mad because you asked him to sign his picture of the old Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah,
I remember that joke.
Yeah, it was he's been like
boy, we're not getting him on this show if you're.
I know, no, but I like him. Like it's like
Jonah's gonna be like, I really like you, but what happened?
Yeah, I don't know. Briefcase full of blues. That
are you worried about? Like, are you looking at him and going, is that going to happen to me? Or are you looking at it and going,
so.
What happened?
I mean, not to say that I don't have a fraction
maybe
of the
he's happy.
This guy. I think he is. I want him to be.
You just want him to be the thing that you need him to be and not just accepting him for who he is now.
Yeah, I think that's probably it.
Okay, that might not be fair.
No, it's not fair at all. Okay, don't believe me. I'm having trouble with it too, Chris. I'm clearly conflicted with my thoughts on Dan Aykroyd, but I think about him a lot.
Who do you? Sweet. Is there anyone else you feel like this about?
About like other like, other, like that you other artists or other the,
yeah.
I don't think so.
Are you ever getting intimate with Deanna and then just as she's starting to get into it, you go, I mean, nothing but trouble. What was that movie?
Yeah, what was that?
And do you ever stretch out her name and go,
Deanna Rooney Aykroyd.
What was Nothing But Trouble? I still can't figure out what that movie was.
But it's like, he was trying to do something really weird and something out of the box. And like, it's like, everyone kind of like made fun of him for it. But like, it's like that movie was kind of weird and
perplexing. Go listen to the How Did This Get Made of that episode. It's very good.
They did that, one for that? Yeah. Oh, that's spectacular.
Yeah, really. It was.
It makes me happy.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, you know, I haven't been able to, like, intellectualize it enough to, like, talk about it properly. But I...
Please.
I don't know. I just...
What do you want Dan Aykroyd to do now? Like, what would be your perfect Aykroyd scenario?
I don't know.
Like, would you want him to just go back and start doing comedies again? Or?
I'd love him to.
Because
he doesn't like being himself, but he's good at being himself in like dramas, you know. But even his dramas, like even like Driving Miss Daisy and shit, like he had an accent and stuff like that. So it's like I wonder if like he'd be able to like do like be the lead in a movie that like he kind of plays close to himself, or like, you know, just kind of how Bill Murray kind of started doing that stuff. Like a lot of, you know, comedy guys when they get older start doing a version of themselves. And yeah. I wonder if that's like that's the case. I don't know.
Maybe he just doesn't give a shit anymore.
I mean, he's like, and he loves music. Like he started the House of Blues stuff, and like he still
does a radio show every week as Elwood Blues.
Really?
Yes.
Where?
On might be on XM, but I think it's definitely online. You can get it.
Yeah. Is it called Elwood Blues Clues? Because it should be.
It might be the Elwood Blues Hour. Something like that.
Well, thank you for answering.
He's one of those guys that kind of did it. Kind of like, you know, like Brendan Small, where they have like equal parts career in comedy and music.
Right.
And like, you know, like who else? Like, there's not a lot of people that
Because at this point, I feel like there have been more years of him not doing comedy than when he was doing comedy.
That's true. He's probably been doing music now longer than comedy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where does he live?
I think he lives in Toronto.
On a train?
So. I saw him at Larchmont once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was very...
we'll try.
Exciting. I mean, I don't mean to...
No, no, no.
I don't mean to seem like I'm like...
Honest, you can totally... It's totally cool.
No, I love your existential Dan Aykroyd crisis that you... Have,
yeah,
apparently.
And I think it's, you know, I think it's like I just maybe I project a lot of stuff like you know, like not that I would do the same thing, like, you know, starting stand up, he started in sketch, but like you know, he was really amazing and he still is, you know, but I just I wonder where he's at and his, I don't know. I just like I just constantly
see if we can get him in here.
Well, if you look at everybody during that period of time that was in the comedy scene as far as like sketch and even movies and TV and stuff like that. You bring it to now and you look at what they're doing now, and a lot of them are dead.
Yeah.
From living too hard. And a lot of them are just sort of like different.
Dead inside, like Chevy Chase.
Yeah. Or, you know, and Chris, you're welcome to spin off of this into your story, but like, look at Steve Martin.
I have a story! spinning.
Who did comedy. And now he seems to be content. Banjo, book.
Art.
Yeah, but he's still like, you know, he still does shows with Martin Short, Steve Martin. Like, he still, you know, he still does jokes between his songs. Like, he still, like, considers himself to do comedy.
Yeah.
I still, and I'm at, well, we did a beta test show last night, which is this show I started at Meltdown every so often to, basically to force myself to write new material. So I get a handful of comics, and you get up to 20 minutes, but you have to do new stuff or new tags if it's an old bit.
Yeah.
But you just have to workshop, and the show's free. And last night was really fun. Justin Willman and Matt Kirsch and April Richardson and TJ Miller and me.
Nice.
And Lorraine Newman came.
No way.
And I was so, like, April and I both kind of flipped out because she tweeted at April and was like, "You were hilarious," and tweeted at me and was like, "I had so much fun at the show." I'm like, "Oh my God, why didn't you say hi?"
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm still so profoundly affected by
that
group.
Yeah. No, apparently she's like a huge comedy fan. Like, she goes to the shows
Lorraine
all the time.
She's so rad.
Lorraine did my show at Sketchfest last year with Tom. We did one star.
One star.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But I met, We went to the old Vanity Fair party the other night, and I saw Patton sitting on the couch, and so at a party like that, where it's just lousy with, you know, like famous people, and I do not feel like I just feel very out of place there. I see Patton and I immediately feel like one of us, you know. So of course I go over, and he's talking it's loud, so he's talking very closely to someone on the couch, and I'm standing there, and he doesn't look up. I'm like. I mean, I'm there for a bit, almost starting to creep on him a little bit. So I kick his foot. He doesn't look up. I kick his foot again. He doesn't look up. So I put my foot, like, on the tip of his foot and just start swirling his foot around in an annoying fashion. And he still won't look up. So I lean down and kiss him on the head. And I look over, and now I'm face-to-face with Steve Martin. Steve Martin was the person he was talking to on the couch. And so now I'm torn because I want to inject myself into the conversation, but
back.
I also don't want a comedy clock block Patton because I feel like this
that's
is Patton's
his moment,
and it's not my moment. And so Patton graciously he was talking to Steve about, he said, "Thank you so much for writing Born Standing Up. Now, whenever someone says, 'What's it like to do comedy?' I can just refer them to that book." And then he sort of threw it to me to say something. I go, "Yeah, well, I bought the audiobook because I got to hear you, you know, like basically redo all the old bits that I loved." And then Pat made some joke like, "Oh, I thought it was a mistake to have that Marv Albert narrated it," or something like that.
Yeah.
And so we sort of riffed on that for a second. And then I excused myself and I'm like, "Okay, nice to meet you." And I walked away. I wanted to stay so bad, but
that's
I was
a good
like,
move though. It's a cool move.
It wasn't
Chris.
It was Patton's thing.
Yeah.
And then, so after Steve left, I saw Patton again and I love seeing him. get so giddy about something. He was like, I just put my fucking phone number in Steve Martin's phone. Like, he was so excited, you know, that they...
That's so nuts.
I was jealous. I wanted to put my fucking number in Steve Martin's phone. Hey, so I fucking pinned him down.
There's always going to be more Oscar parties, buddy.
No, but I... actually, I really wasn't. It was really fun. It was really neat.
That's really
and
cool.
And Steve seemed really cool. And he was nice to me for the second that I met him. And the thing that was sort of a moment checker for me was that I didn't freak out about it.
Nice.
I think the podcast is kind of
numbed
Well, not numbed, but just sort of like it's helped me learn how to like mash that down and be in a moment rather than freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah, as opposed to stepping out and going, this is the moment I'm talking about.
Exactly,
now to.
Exactly. Which, yeah. I mean, it's not that that's not there anymore. I'm certainly not numb to it. It's yeah. just that it's, I can push it out of the way.
It's that, like, that moment's like, oh, this is awkward. Can I get a picture? Oh, this is awkward. You're really cool.
Is that right? Yeah, there were so many people that I saw that I wanted to.
I was very impressed at your Instagram feed. I thought I was going to see a picture of you with everybody. On the planet that was at that party.
No.
Good restraint on your part.
I wanted to take a picture with Gordon Ramsay just to send to you.
Yeah, well, I would have loved that.
So I saw Beck. I want to talk to him and say, I was real mad on your behalf, man.
Yeah, he liked it.
I know he did. Yeah. But I just think it's obnoxious that... I think, you know, it's fun to... I'm kind of like... To like watch an ego implode. I don't mean Beck. I mean, yeah. But to watch Kanye, like this whole thing, it's like.
Well, I heard he's
like when you keep telling people how cool you are, it's not. I don't know if that really.
Well, I heard he's actually developing a hologram so he can interrupt himself next time he wins an award.
He's going to interrupt the Benson interruption.
Yeah, yeah. The thing about that, though, is that it's like, it's a weird, because everyone's like, he's doing it for Beyonce. It's like, he's kind of doing
it.
It's like.
He's not doing it for Beyonce. First of all, if you're Jay-Z, do you want some other dude standing up, like, for your wife? Like, that's. Yeah, yeah. Like,
I also like how he constantly talks about how. Kim Kardashian and Beyonce are friends. Like, they're friends. They're friends, everybody. She respects Kim. Beyonce respects Kim. Like, yeah, I don't think
Here's the
does.
Thing. They, you know, someone, because we talked about, like, on At Midnight, we addressed it a couple weeks ago, and there were some people in the audience who disagreed with what I was saying, which was, I just think he kind of sucks for all the stuff he's doing, you know, all this, like, attention-grabby stuff. And this girl was like, well, I mean, I just think, you know, he's offered to refuse his awards before for other people. And I go, that doesn't make him a good person. Like, yeah. if you really, you know, if that was his belief that other people were better and deserve the awards, then he would have taken himself out of the nomination pool.
Yeah.
Then not even bothered to go. Like, who the fuck wants your shitty secondhand award? Like, that's so narcissistic.
Jack Lemmon.
That's so narcissistic to think, like, I won this. Like, you already got the attention for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you going, I'm going to give this to someone else. Like, if that's how you really felt and it was not an exercise in narcissism, you would not show up at all.
Yeah. The guy's extremely talented. But, like, when it comes to being a person or a human being,
but I agree that he's insanely talented. Yeah. But it's starting to overcome. It's starting to overshadow.
He's being more of a character than he is an artist.
Yeah, because, like, to make an ignorant statement about, like, I thought the Grammys were for artists. Like, there may be few other people that are more of an artist than Beck.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Like, yeah.
A guy who fucking plays pretty much every instrument, writes his stuff, you know, yeah. He's kind of changed the face of music. He's been around still around after 21 years.
Yeah, started on the
years.
Bottom, start, you know, tooling around
lived
LA.
In a car. Like, I mean, fucking, I don't know. I got really mad on his behalf.
Yeah.
Just because of the basis of the argument that was being used for his attention grabbing.
Yes, for sure. But as far as Beck albums go, that one shouldn't have won the Grammy.
You don't think so?
It's good. It's not his best work, though.
Yeah, but if you listen to the other stuff that was nominated this year, I don't necessarily think they were wrong to give it to him. I mean, it was an amazing feat, playing all those instruments. And
that's true.
I mean, doing the entire album yourself, I feel like.
Yeah, okay. I'm down with that.
So using Kanye's argument, he actually 100% deserved that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like the album, don't get me wrong. I just, it wasn't my favorite Beck album.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't have to be. What is your favorite Beck album?
Mutations.
I was going to guess
one.
That was your...
Mutations and then Mellow Gold. What?
Guerrerito?
Oh, Guero?
There's the
Guerrilito is a remix song. Yeah. You like the remix song better?
I like the remix.
What was that 8-bit version of Yes, girl. I think? No, there was an 8-bit version. It was like, the girl 8-bit version is good too. I can't remember. There's so many.
I have every Beck album on my phone.
Yeah.
I think he's fabulous, guys.
I do too. He looked real nice. Like, he looked super nice and approachable, and I got nervous. It's funny. I said, like, oh, I can mash it down. I could not mash it down to, like, go up to him and be like, because I played it out in my head. Yeah. I think, because this actually happened at the, we were, I came face to face, like, you know, like the crowds are all crazy.
Yeah.
And so you kind of get into these situations where you're sort of mashed through. It looks like kelp. So you're sort of trapped. And then all of a sudden you'll come face to face to people and you lock eyes for a second.
You had to fight Christoph Waltz.
Huh?
You had to fight Christoph Waltz.
Nice.
Beat the shit out of me.
Nice.
He's a good fighter.
Fucking Taron Killam's Christoph Waltz impression is so ridiculous. It's so fucking good. I love Taron Killam so fucking much.
I do too.
He's so good. It's just like guys you wouldn't think. It's like, oh, he does a Christoph Waltz impression. Like, what is that even? And then you see, you're like, oh, that's
oh,
it.
Oh, that's it.
Same with like Brad Pitt. Like, what's a fucking Brad Pitt? You're like, oh, that's a Brad Pitt impression.
That's so awesome. Good. Yeah.
But who did you actually come face to face with?
Miley Cyrus. And I didn't know what to say, so I just go, you're rad. And she's like, thanks, and just kept walking. And I honestly, I got a lot of shit because I said I stuck up for her on At Midnight, and people were like, fuck, how could you fucking, and I go, look.
What are you talking about? She's great.
I can't really say I know much about her music, but I think someone who grew up as like a Disney TV star that now is trying to make strong definitive choices and try weird things and take risks and have fun, and you know, like, I don't know, I respect that.
Yeah,
you know,
Party in the USA is one of the all-time best party songs. It's
and
an
also
song.
She was, you know, she released those like backyard songs.
Yeah,
and my friend Jamie Aronson plays for her.
Oh, nice.
And and she did a version of Jolene that was great.
Yeah, I think I've heard that.
And I don't know, so I don't know, it's not, I don't, I guess I don't feel like, I don't know why I'm defensive about it. I just, like, I don't know. I don't think I think she's all right.
Yeah, you know, there's just some people out there, like, there's like zeitgeist things you're not supposed to, like, it's like, Miley Cyrus, she sucks, right?
You're not supposed
to
say that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're just trying to make yourself a part of a group by saying that you think she sucks, you know?
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
But anyway,
I think
she was
great.
She was, except that she
was very dismissive of you.
Very dismissive.
Well,
but not, at least she doesn't have to. Yeah. I don't care. I mean, it's like she doesn't owe me anything. It was just one of those weird, like, I felt like I took a little bit of a swing. And it was just like immediately like, oh, you're one of those people. Like, well, I am one of those people. You know what? You know what, Miley? I am one of those people. And I'm done sharing a birthday with you.
Ooh.
Oh, Chris, you can't
Chris,
just do
you
that.
Can't just do that.
That's how birthdays work.
Birthday.
Okay, I won't. I'll keep a birthday with Herb. Can I get rid of Snooki? Because we have the same birthday.
Ooh.
I get both sides of the coolness spectrum on my birthday. Because I get like Billy. I get on my birthday. I get Billy the Kid and Boris Karloff.
Nice.
But then I also get Snooki.
I have Martin Sheen, James Hetfield.
Oh yeah.
Yeah yeah.
Happy birthday! Yeah. How come you didn't bring that up at Comic-Con?
We have the same birthday.
What are you gonna do with that information?
That was actually
nothing.
That was actually like a fucking great Harris Whittles joke, which is like the people was like, "We have the same birthday." Great. What does that matter? What does that mean?
Happy birthday! Oh, god damn it, Harris. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the one that texted me about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fucking nuts. I found out kind of early.
How's everyone doing?
Everyone's dealing. Everyone still feels, you know, kind of fake.
Because
you know?
He was at Meltdown the night before, right?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Talking about struggling with addiction.
Talking about, like, you know, he was 50 days sober. You know, I don't really want to talk about what he said. I don't, like, you know, we have a blanket kind of thing. Everyone there was just kind of like, we don't really want to talk about it. Okay. We got calls from like Hollywood Reporter and Variety and stuff like that, asking everyone to, well, what did he say? What was he like? And we all kind of just thought that was kind of, it's best if it's like, everyone's going to read into anything we say. I think more than that should be. And so it's best to just not like really delve into it, but he had a great set and, he was very funny. And then like, you know, and he went off. So, yeah, I think that's kind of our blanket imposition on the matter. Just because it's like, you know, it felt real weird. Reporters, like, even like, you know, reporters tried to call like anyone who was there. They called DeMorge Brown, and they're like, "Hey, I heard you were at the show and you were talking to Harris." Like, what was he? And like, it's just like everyone's just like, no, don't worry
just
about it.
Just because it feels like it's they're exploiting.
Gross. Yeah, and everyone's going to look for a thing to, you know, it's like, well, he said this or he talked about this. And it's like, you know, like in the end, it was just like he had an addiction and it, and, you know, the thing that happens to a lot of people when they relapse after being sober is that, you know, they take too much. And that's pretty much what happened. There's no more underlying
and better that people remember him for the fucking brilliant comic that he was.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. I mean, like, we were joking around about Salieri yesterday, you and I, and like, it's like that was like I he made me feel like Salieri, like from when he showed up. And I was at that show at Largo where he fucking destroyed, and Sarah came up to him and then, you know, asked him to write on the show and stuff like that. Like he's been like a constant, like in my head, like, you know. It's like, even like you ask Matt, like, it's like I'm always like, oh, Harris Wilk, you know. Man. It's like it's like he's been like a constant, like, you know, and a friend. So that also feels weird because it's like, you know, I was always kind of like extremely jealous of him and his talents, and he was just always so cool, and like he made me second guess my, you know, hatred for fish, and like, you know, that's how cool he was, is that he made you go, hey, maybe fish isn't that bad, like, which is a fucking ridiculous statement.
Well, he was a guy that usually was the funniest guy in the room, but he wouldn't overtake a room.
Yeah.
Like he it's incredible how many people he touched with.
Just across the board, just from showing up and like, you know, and just everyone loved him and like everyone wanted to use him. You know, Besser immediately started putting him in sketches at UCB. You know, like, you know, Sarah got him, like, you know, like Rob Schraub, Parks and Rec people, like Aziz, everyone loved him. Everyone fell in love with him. It was just like, he was just so fucking funny. So
did you find out if there's any type of a fund to donate to? Is there any type of anything?
I don't know. I think you'd probably talk to Mookie. I think Mookie's kind of in charge of some of that stuff. Because I don't see Armin Weitzman doing that, but I don't know. Maybe we have money. I'm sure there will be some kind of thing. But at the same time, it's like, I don't think, you know, that seems like something Harris would have made fun of, which is, that was my favorite part about Twitter that day, is that, like, everyone was just retweeting, like, all his tweets, and how, like, he would like, it's like, and Joe Manny, one of his great friends, and, you know, like, Noah Garfinkel and stuff like that, Joe Manny said, it's like Harris would hate Twitter right now. It's like, and like, I think I forget who died. It was like Joan Rivers, something like that, where he's like, hey, everyone, taking submissions for the top 10 who mourned him best tweets.
Oh, yeah. All the entertainment sites.
Yeah.
Here's what people are saying. Well, hopefully, you know, people can remember him for the amazing comic and writer that he was, and not the guy who died from a drug addiction, you know? And,
yeah.
But I think they will.
Yeah. I mean, he did so much within a short amount of time.
Yeah.
That it's like the effects and his style is gonna, you know, come. It's gonna be there for a long time.
What type of have you had any time to personally reflect on it yet? Like how it actually affects you and how you think it's going to affect you going forward?
Yeah. You know, anything like that. There's no question that you immediately think about, well, how does this, you know, what is this for me? What is, like,
what can you take away from?
What can I take away from this? And yeah, I mean, like, you know, it made me second guess, like, my drinking, kind of. But that was the only thing I could equate to it. But it's like, it's hard to equate, like, you know, like drinking, like, you know, every couple nights to, like, you know, narcotics. I know it's like all addiction and it's all there. And there's other things I'm addicted to as well. You know, food and, you know, fun, jerking off. you know, there's a lot of stuff that, like, maybe, like, it's a, it was just, there's a thing about that I thought about where it's, you know, I don't want to speculate or talk about it much, but the fact that he, you know, things, he had this addiction, but things were continuing to work out for him, which is like a real kind of, you know, crazy thought, a bad thought to have for somebody where it's like, you know. And, you know, I could do that with some of my stuff where I'm just saying, like, yeah, you know, like, I do this, but things are still working out for
me. Well, also people can, you know, because I think people can be largely superstitious. Yeah. You can start, you can the much in the same way that a Pavlovian, you know, like a bell makes a dog salivate. You go, yeah. Oh, well, I guess this makes these good things happen. And the truth is, that's not the truth.
That's not the truth,
you know,
at all.
Those are made up connections, but I think our brains need a way to sort and understand the universe, particularly people who are prone to control issues, which as an addict, I can tell you, I think that's one of the main things that a lot of us struggle with is control. And so when you can start connecting things, even if they're disparate things, you start feeling like you have a sense of control over the universe, but you don't.
You don't. Yeah. But yeah, for sure.
Which is okay, by the way. Like there's a certain beauty in kind of going like, I can't, and it's fucking hard to try to control everything. I mean, you just don't have the energy, and the more you do, you know, I think that's where I think, you know, some of life's greatest disappointments come from trying to over-engineer or over-control things.
For sure, yeah. You know, the best things just kind of happen.
But I know that, you know, he's got a You Made It Weird episode that a lot of people went back and listened to, which talks about...
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go back and listen to that.
It's probably going
to
be hard for you to listen to.
Yeah, I'd imagine for anybody, really, just to, like, hear a guy struggling and feeling like he's beating it to like, just, like, you know, going back. And, you know, I've had friends OD here and there, but it is like, it's just an odd thing. It's just cause it's like the reaction you get, it's not, I don't know. It's not like suicide. It's like, you just go, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. Because
it didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Something like with like a car accident or like some crazy accident like that, you just sort of go, oh, fuck, man.
You feel robbed by circumstance. Like, you couldn't, you know, like there it's. Unless someone was doing something crazy where they were like, you know, they got drunk and were driving around in circles on the freeway. But if it's just a bad happenstance versus something like, this was fucking preventable.
Yeah.
You didn't need to do this. Why, you know?
And even like, you know, talking to, you know, like friends like AG and Schraub, like, you know, it's like everyone has that feeling. Like, oh, man, maybe I should have just called him back that day. Or maybe I should have said, like, let's go get dinner. Like, everything. You know, that's like there's a thing.
I don't know if there's any one event that would have, you know.
No.
I mean, there's not.
And if it didn't happen now, it could have happened later. That's just, you know, there's not very many ways out of that kind of addiction.
Right.
It's real weird. It's so odd.
The crazy thing is that he was like our age.
Yeah, he's 2 years younger than me. He's your age, yeah.
Yeah, and I've known him.
Yeah, he's our age.
Since 2008. Yeah. Chris, he's not your age.
What? Sorry. God damn it. I was trying to sneak in. I thought everyone would be too somber to notice.
And I remember when he moved here and, you know, things kind of started picking up, and he was asking me, he was like, hey, I feel like I'm in like the same position as you at your age. And like, it's like, you know, it feels like things are kind of starting to happen for me. And I remember, like, I always remember this. That's probably why I have such a complex with him. Is that I was like, yeah, that's just kind of how it is out here. Things always seem like they're about to blow up and you're about to start, you know, but nothing ever happens and you just kind of keep on plugging away. And then, like, just fucking Sarah Silverman program, boom, bam, 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 bam. Like, you know, running his own show at 23 on Comedy Central. You know, like, it's just like, and I'm always just like, oh man, he must have fucking think I'm such a fucking idiot, condescending prick. But I will say this about one of the things he said, last time I saw him at Meltdown was AG made some joke about big butts. And then Harris said, I don't know, man, I don't like big butts. Just takes longer for the poop to come out. And I couldn't stop laughing. And I think he'd much rather people like say that. What did he say? Well, if you really want to know what he said, the last thing he ever said to me was he doesn't like big butts because it takes for the poop longer to come out.
That's what you should have told, like, the Variety or whatever.
Oh, you're fucking goddamn right. That's what I should have done. Fuck. Yeah. But it's also a weird thing with any kind of death in a scene, you know, that everyone is afraid to own it, you know, because they always know someone that knows the person more, you right. know, or it's they're yeah. afraid to, you know, or they, or people just mourn a bit too much and they make it too much about them. There's an amazing Anthony Jeselnik thing where it's like, anytime there's a tragedy or someone goes through a hard time, it's a, he says, people tweet out, oh, my thoughts and prayers, or my thoughts and prayers, my thoughts and prayers. And he's like, all that is really saying is like, hey, don't forget about me.
Right.
I know there's a thing that happened, but don't forget about me.
Right. Well, I didn't know Harris very well. I knew him, you know, I think I was very well acquainted with him.
Yeah.
Like if I saw him in public, I would go up and say hi to him.
Yeah.
And we did a bunch of shows. We went to a bunch of the same shows and I did sort of feel that where I was in this place where I'm like, well, I definitely want to express something, but I don't want it to, I didn't want to, especially to people who are like really good friends, and they'd be like, you didn't know him that well, you know, like I didn't want to be disrespectful. So I just said a really simple thing.
It's so odd. And if he fucking like, and Joe Manny was also right, he would love the fact that fucking the Westboro Baptist Church are saying that he's burning in hell. Like I would have, it's like, what a fucking, like he would have felt so accomplished. You know, it's just it's crazy. It's just so fucking weird. That's all it really is. It's just weird.
Have you guys gotten together as a group to talk about it?
A lot of different people did. UCB had a grief counselor.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. One of the guys, one of the teachers there, his dad's a grief counselor. So they had someone there. Just because he was so much a part of so many different scenes, yeah. And like, you know, I know the Parks writers went out. I know. You know, Sarah Silverman program people went out. Like, you know, he's doing all these. He was part of so many things that, like, everyone went out. Like, you know, me and some friends, like, went out and, you know, talked about him and stuff like that. And I know there's a thing. Mookie is putting together a thing soon for, like a private for friends and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think that's this weekend. That'll be nice. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I say that, like, not to, you know, be disrespectful, but I think it's going to be very funny. I think it's going to be very cathartic for everybody.
And I know it can be kind of tricky sometimes. People are like, well, that's what he would have wanted. But I really do think, like, well, that's what he would have wanted.
Yeah, I think I have a feeling that, like, the Hendershaw guys, like Dave Horowitz, Mookie, and Joe Mandy, and all these guys are going to, like, end up doing some really funny, offensive, like, fucking bits about his death. And I know there's going to be some heartfelt stuff, too. So, yeah, it's just crazy. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, in the end, I guess the lesson is always if you think you have a problem, talk to some other people about it.
Right.
And then, like, maybe, you know, don't do bad drugs.
Well, I mean, I think, I mean, I didn't really know what it was like to hang out with him one-on-one and be really close friends with him.
Yeah.
But just seeing him at a party or at a show or whatever, he was such an unassuming guy.
Yeah.
That it, you know, if he did really need more help, you know, would he have asked for it? I don't know. And I think it's, you know, it can be difficult. If someone has an addiction and they're not open about it, you can't. I mean, like, so no one. I don't think. You got anyone can really fault themselves for not going, aha, you know, like you can't,
yeah,
especially if someone's just come back from rehab, like you can't spend 24/7, you know what I mean? Like, what can you do? Like,
if someone's
going to do it, in some cases, they're just going to do it, and there's nothing you can, you know, you can't imprison someone. So, yeah. I mean, you can, but, but you know, in this case,
for sure, it's you know, addiction is so crazy. Even just like, you know, like it's rare that I'm ever like, it's like, I gotta drink. Like, I never get that way about drinking. But I get that way about food, you know, like I get that way about other things.
Yeah.
It's clearly food and booze. Like those can be swapped out. It's still an impulse to feel that you need something.
Yeah. It sucks that it's, you know, what I remember about being in the throes of it was basically your brain torturing you until you do it.
Yeah.
It's just almost like a kid now, you know, like,
yeah, it's just a thing.
Do it. Can we have this? Can we have, Dad, yeah. Can we have a pony? Dad, can we have a pony? Dad, can we have a pony?
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I don't know. I guess if you feel like you're struggling, get help, talk to people. If they won't listen, they're not the right friends.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
and find someone who will. Because if you are at that stage, you probably do need to help. If you're at the stage where you're thinking about asking for help, you should not think anymore and you should just do it.
Yeah.
Because if you have a brain that's not that doesn't really suffer from that, it would never occur to you to go, I wonder if I, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So get help. And if you have friends who are asking you for help, fucking be there for them.
Yeah.
And make sure that, you know, make sure that they're taken care of and get them in a program, get them into, you know, therapy.
Don't bail.
Get them into a support group, you know,
yeah.
And take care of them. I think that's sort of the best thing you can
do. Yeah, because as hard as it may seem for you to remain friends with that person, it's harder for them to, you know, get clean. So just keep that in perspective.
And in the broader sense, also go easy on yourself.
You know?
Go easy on yourself. You don't have to. You don't have to destroy everything.
Yeah,
it's not necessary.
Yeah, for sure.
It sounds like in his case, though, it had been an addiction he'd been struggling with since he was like preteen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's just so weird when you like, you know, it's like, but like, you know, everything worked out. Like, it's like everything was working out.
Right.
That's the part that's scary. It's like, you know, you hear the stories of like, it's like, yeah, I got into this and that and it ruined my life. I lost my job. I lost my family. You know, when like the guy's like, you know, prepping a couple movies and working on one of the, you know, well, most well-respected
TV
shows.
But that's also kind of a limited perspective. Like, it's working out is a subjective.
Oh, but I think like to that person.
Right.
It's like, I can do it.
But maybe he didn't. Working out. I mean, like, it, you know, the work stuff is sort of incidental. Like, it's, you know, the fact that he was functioning to be able to get through the, he still might have been real, you know, I mean, clearly had other things going on inside. So,
definitely.
You know,
yeah.
Just get help if you need it and help people if they need it. I guess that's really the best
for
you
sure
can do.
Now, Matt, what is up with this wacky thing you're wearing over
here?
Seriously,
Matt, who?
This shirt is from Ralph Lauren.
Yeah.
His Denim and Supply Company, available at Macy's on 34th Street.
That's just great.
This shirt is made by the Deflector Company, who was always there to get you out of an awkward conversation.
Yeah, no real fun way to end a conversation.
No, that doesn't have to
Well, I think there is a fun way, and that's that Harris didn't have to turn into Dan Aykroyd.
Jesus Christ.
That's just for Jonah.
Yeah, I wonder if these two things are connected in my brain.
Jonah, that was a sweet smile, Jonah. That was a big old sincere knowing smile.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you guys have a great rest of the week.
Yeah.
I'm going to be going to Chicago. Well, by the time this goes up, I'll have been to Chicago. Went to Chicago.
How was it?
Cold. Yeah, it's like 1 degree there.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fucking freezing in New York last week.
Yeah.
It was negative 15 at a couple of days. We're way under.
I'm sure there will be a wind chill factor that brings it below some type.
Here's a little pro tip for you. Head over to Uniqlo in L.A., you know, the Japanese store.
Uniqlo?
Get their heat tech shit. It's all on sale.
I do have heat tech shit.
It's like $7 out
But it's sort of like what Alex Murray said, where he goes, you know, he's in New York right now.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, I put on these thermal underwear because it's really cold outside. But then, because it's the 21st century, everywhere has heat. So then I go inside and I sweat my balls off because
Wow, he's probably layering too much.
Two layers of clothes.
You hear, my friend Chris Holmes is designing these clothes. Have you heard about it? It's like when it's like this weird fabric that when you take a picture, a flash picture of it, it reflects so much.
The paparazzi hoodie.
Yeah, I saw that. My friend Chris is the one that designed and developed that. It's like these like this weird stitching. So when you do it, you just see this white like
it blows out the picture.
And everything else is black.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really really cool, man. I gotta remember. It's like
that's
it's like
genius.
The anti paparazzi.
Yeah, the paparazzi
like,
hoodie.
He has like a scarf, and there's a jacket, and there's a hoodie one.
Stopperazzi?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe.
I mean, let's get back to the drawing board on that. I don't know if he's going to be into it.
Call him now and see what he says for this great idea.
Yeah, but
no one could deny.
It's really neat. It's really, really cool. It's like, it's just basically to like discourage people. It's like, well, you're not going to get a good picture anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty genius.
Yeah, he's a crazy guy. He's the guy. He's the DJ guy that opens up for Paul McCartney.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. He's like
just one of these all around brilliant guys.
Yeah, just one of these guys that always like. He made one of those dream machine things once.
Yeah.
Like it's like you get a turntable and then you cut like certain patterns into this like
cardboard kind of thing, and you put it on top of the turntable, and then you put a light in the middle of it, so it flashes a certain kind of pattern,
yeah,
and it's supposed to put you kind of into a dream state. Like, he was like, oh yeah, I'll just
figure that out. So he's a tinkering genius?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That's fair.
Well, I guess as we wrap it up, I just want to say it's something when someone passes away and it's very close to home, I think it's important to tell you guys that I love you very dearly, and I'm glad you're both okay.
I feel the same way.
And I'm glad that you're both making healthy choices. Seeing this fucking guy, Matt Myra, posting a badass picture on the treadmill when he was in New York.
Oh.
Matt went to New York, fucking worked out almost every day.
I didn't have any pizza.
Didn't eat pizza.
Never gone to New York and not had pizza.
That's seriously great. I'm proud of you guys. That I really am.
Well, my diet is the shit. It's the fucking worst thing. I'm eating like shit right now because I'm.
Oh, I thought you were like it's the
no,
shit.
It's not,
like
it's
I got this
shit.
Great diet.
No, it's fucking it's the worst. I'm like in an edit bay and just like antsy, and I'm just like, well, there's fucking snacks. Yeah.
It's the craft service is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah,
but
that's all right.
You know what? I'm gonna for the record. That's not the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Perspective.
Are you sure? Because that sounds pretty bad, bro.
100% sure.
Okay, good. Well, on this, I think, this is an extra special, really take to heart, enjoy your burrito.
Enjoy your burrito.
You can everybody. Enjoy your present. All right. The end.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.